Fantastic. If you find somebody you like and want to sit beside for the rest of the service, go for it. Okay, grab a seat. Folks, years and years and years ago, actually, Billy Fife was there, actually, that this particular night. Where is Billy Fife? Oh, he's away anyway, right? He's at the back. Billy Fife was there this particular night, but it doesn't matter. There was this particular night where I was invited to speak somewhere, all right? And it was really good. The Pastor McConnell Hall. Isn't that good? All right? The bus main, right? Pastor McConnell Hall. And I went along. I didn't know what I was really speaking at, but I went to speak at this thing. And it was really, really, really good. You should learn from this, actually, because they met me at the door and they brought me to a room where there was like a wee hospitality pack for me, you know, and all, right? And somebody was outside. Somebody was given the job of standing outside, and if I needed anything, they would get it for me. I have absolutely no idea what I would have needed, but they were there, right? But I went out, and there were 800 people there, okay? All to hear me speak, possibly. Okay, 800 people to hear me speak, and that was all right. Before I was speaking, I was sitting down beside this young fella, and his name was Paul, and he was giving his testimony. He was called Paul Marshall, right? I had never heard of this person, Paul Marshall, but he's a rugby player. For anyone who doesn't know, he's a rugby player. He plays for Ulster, I think, okay? And that was all right. And I said to him, right, so what do you do? He says, I play rugby. I says, who do you play for? I play for Ulster. And I said, what do you do as a job? He says, I play rugby. And I says, aye, but what do you do for money and all? Right? And he says, I play rugby. All right? I had no idea this sort of thing, right? So it was a wee bit embarrassing, but I think possibly everybody was there to hear Paul Marshall and not me. But that was okay, all right? But I had no idea who I was speaking to. Now, when I just became a minister, and this will give you an insight into the cushy life of a minister, right? Just became a minister, and I went to a retreat, okay? And it was all the ministers from the diocese were at this retreat. And the retreat was in a very nice hotel, okay? And so their hotels are good, hospitality packs are good and all that, right? But it was in a really nice hotel, and there was a wee bit of speaking and all at it, but there was actually lots of time where you just used, like, the spa and stuff. I couldn't believe it. I thought, ministry's great. I don't know what they were on about. Okay, and I was in a steam room, and there were two men, well, there's one man on either side. It's a horrible nightmare, right, in this steam room. And I said to the guy on my left-hand side, I said, oh, and where are you the minister of? And he said, oh, well, I'm not actually ordained or whatever. And he talked for a wee while. And then I said to the old fella beside me, I says, and are you ordained? And he says, I'm the dean, boy. It was sort of scary. But in both those situations, sorry, if we move on to the next slide, guys. In both those situations, I had no idea who I was talking to. I had absolutely no idea who I was talking to. I didn't recognize their importance or their authority or any of that, okay? And here's my thought today, that possibly when we say the creed and we say these words on the next slide, hopefully, if we move on to the next slide, please, let's say them together. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, okay? I would wonder, when we say those words, I believe in the Holy Spirit, do we recognize the authority and the importance of the person that we're speaking about? Do we recognize the authority and the importance of the person we're speaking about? Because the Holy Spirit is incredibly, incredibly, incredibly important. And the question I would ask is, do we really believe in Him? Do we really believe in Him? Do we believe in His authority? Do we believe in His importance? You know, if you think about the creed now, it's not as simple as all of this, but this is sort of the way the creed works. The first bit is, it says that God the Father is the creator. Now, that's not to say the Son wasn't involved and the Spirit wasn't involved, but the creed sort of paints God the Father as the one who made it all, okay? And then, as you know, we are given paradise, but paradise was lost. And then Jesus in the creed, the next part, He's the one who redeems it all and rescues us and all of that. And there's a whole big section on how He does that. You know, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried, third day rose again. All those sorts of things. That is how He redeems us. So Father Creator, Son Redeemer, and then the Holy Spirit is the one who recreates and remakes and remakes this whole world. He is the recreator. Creator, redeemer, and recreator. The Holy Spirit is so incredibly important. But do we really believe in him? Do we really believe in him? He's not just some force or some idea. He is the person of God. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do we believe in him? Do we believe in him? There's a book by a speaker called Francis Chan about the Holy Spirit, and it's called Forgotten God. Forgotten God. And so many times it's been said that in Northern Ireland, it's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible. But it must not be. Don't laugh. It must not be. It must be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And that is what the Bible reveals about God. Now, for anyone who doesn't know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, that's okay, because we're going to think about that for just a second. And here's the three things, if we move on to the next slide, I want you to be aware of when you think about the work and the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's at you is one of his positions, in you is one of his positions, and upon you is one of his positions, right? Put up your hand if you've got anyone in your life that goes on and on and on at you, okay? That's a very dangerous thing to put your hand up about, okay? But yeah, we have people, maybe a parent or a spouse or whatever, who sort of goes on and on and on at you. You know, have you cut the lawn yet? Have you tidied up the garage yet? Have you moved your socks yet? Whatever. Okay? On and on and on at you. Well, here, one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit, and it tells us this in John 16, verse 8, is his first job is he convicts the world of sin. He's at the world about sin. He's saying, you need to respond to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus. You need to do this. And that's one of the jobs of the Holy Spirit. So even to the most ardent atheist in the whole world, the Holy Spirit's going, come on, come on, come on. Jesus is here. He wants you to follow him. He wants to save you. You know, I love this. I heard a little illustration. Somebody said, do you know the idea when you came to Jesus, you made the decision to let Jesus in? You know, that's kind of what we believe. Well, what a commentator said that I really like is, the Holy Spirit's the one that rang the doorbell. Like, you might open the door, but the Holy Spirit's ding-dong, ding-dong. Jesus wants to save you. Jesus wants to rescue you. Jesus wants to love you. The Holy Spirit's the one who's ringing the doorbell of your heart. That's what he does. He's at you if you're not a Christian. But the beautiful thing is, when we become a Christian, he is in you. The Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And he abides in you and he dwells in you. And he's the guarantee of your inheritance. He's your guarantee that you're going to heaven when he's in you. You know, years ago, I used to bite my nails. Does anyone here bite their nails? Raise a withered hand. Okay, right? But I used to bite my nails. And my mum and dad, they actually had to go and spoke to the doctor. And they got me this stuff, right, really manly, that they painted on my nails that tasted disgusting, right, to stop me from biting it. But they came home one day and I was painting it onto my tongue. I loved it so much. Okay, that's what happened. But then another strategy was that one of my mum's friends told me that if you bite your nails, a little tree will grow in your stomach. And a nail tree will start to proceed out of your nostrils and your ears. It's terrifying. Well, anyway, if the Holy Spirit's in you, it should become obvious by stuff that grows out of you, okay? And the things that should grow out of you are love and kindness and gentleness and peace and patience and all those nine fruit of the Spirit. He's in you. That is his next position. If you're a Christian, whether you say it or not, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit in you. There's no other Christianity without it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not of God. That's what the Bible tells us. He's in you if you're a believer. But here's the next beautiful thing. He doesn't just want to be at you and then in you. He also wants to come upon you. Now, 2 Peter 1 verse 3 says, By his divine power, he gives you everything you need to live a godly life. By his divine power. He wants to come down in power. At the start of Acts, Jesus says, he says to the disciples, I want you to wait in Jerusalem and the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And that's what happens. He comes upon them and they have gifts and abilities and power to live for Jesus. That is what we have. You know, as you know, dear Emma, who was with us for a year, has now moved to Ballymena High and all that sort of stuff, right? And do you know, I want you to imagine, now this is what some Christians do. I want you to imagine that now Emma's been gone a few weeks. I want you to imagine that you're driving up the motorway and you see a very tired and skinny Emma pushing her sofa up the side of the motorway, okay? Now, that would not be very smart. She's moved away weeks ago and she's still pushing her furniture up the motorway. That is not what we want, because there is a removal grant. Next perk of being a Church of Ireland minister. There's a removal grant to get your stuff up to Ballymena. Now, the church, we have done this for so long, we have tried to do the things of God without using the resources of God. And God wants to come down upon lives this morning. If you just welcome Him, He wants to come down upon lives and gift you and empower you for life for Jesus. That's what He wants to do. So if He's at you, receive Jesus. If He's in you, be delighted, but then ask that He would come upon you and empower you for life for Jesus. Simple stuff, but important to say, isn't it? Now, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and what the Holy Spirit does as a mechanism to win over the world is He's formed something beautiful called the church. And if we move on to the next slide, we read in this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful creed, the creed of creeds, that He has built a church. And you are part of it if you have the Holy Spirit in you. The local church. That's plan. I watched SpongeBob SquarePants once, and it said we've A, B, C, D, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, R, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y. Okay, one of the characters said, oh, we can do nothing more. We've tried every plan from A to Y. Okay? From A to Y. But there's another plan, isn't there? You see, God's purposes are A to Z through the church. Wesley said, God does nothing except an answer to the church's prayers. Okay? A to Z, the plan is the local church. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit and do you believe in the church? You know, David, in Psalm 83, he talked about, you know, this beautiful privilege of being in the presence of God, to live in the temple. And he says, even the sparrow finds her home there where she can lay her young. Okay? So his image is, oh man, that bird is so lucky. It gets to live in the church. It gets to live in the temple. And we have the privilege, folks, of being part of the church. Do you believe in the church? Now, for anybody who comes from another type of stream of church, okay, so, you know, any stream at all that isn't Anglican, there's always that moment, isn't there, when you first come into a Church of Ireland and you're saying the creed and you're thinking, boy, this is great, this old creed, and then it comes to the Holy Catholic Church, and then suddenly you see them all going, what, have I walked into the wrong building here? The Catholic Church? What does Catholic mean, this Holy Catholic Church? Well, first of all, we have holy. Now, holy means set apart. So when we have communion here, we set apart bread and wine, and we say, this is holy for God's use. Now, the bread and wine doesn't suddenly become fat-free or anything like that, okay? It's still the same stuff, but it's been set aside. And the church has been set aside by God for His purposes, the Holy Spirit's purposes. But the Catholic Church, well, before kind of, I guess, the 16th century, this would have made sense to everybody, but since the Protestant Reformation, when we hear Catholic, we think Roman Catholic, don't we? And it's not necessarily talking about Roman Catholics. The word Catholic means according to the whole, okay? According to the whole, or universal, okay? So it's a big, big, big word to describe the whole church. We believe in the whole church. We don't just believe in the Church of Ireland, okay? or the New Church World, or Emmanuel, or Shankill, or any of those sorts of things. We believe in the Holy Catholic Church. I want you to think, when God looks at planet Earth, what does he see in terms of those wee fires of people that love him, people whose hearts are for him? What does he see? He doesn't say, boy, the Baptists are doing well, or boy, Emmanuel's doing well, or any of those sorts of things. He sees these people who love him. And he sees them all as his whole Holy Catholic Church. That's how he sees them. Not with our divisions and ideas around them. He sees people. You know, it actually says in the Bible, the eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the world, seeking those whose hearts are fully his, that he might strengthen them. That's who God sees when he looks at planet Earth. He doesn't see St. Saviour's, the Church of Ireland. He sees the Holy Catholic Church. And he wants us to be one body. You know, I thought it was just beautiful. The Archbishop of Canterbury and the Archbishop of York set up a beautiful prayer initiative called Thy Kingdom Come. And you know, that Thy Kingdom Come is now running in churches in 90% of the nations of this world. Isn't that great? That one initiative has actually went into the Holy Catholic Church right across the world. It's a universal thing, and 10% more, and it's truly Catholic. Okay? That's where we want to get to. Isn't it just beautiful? That's what God wants to do. And we heard read by Ozzy a little bit earlier, folks, that we must actually seek the unity of this Holy Catholic Church. We really must do that. Look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. One. Seven times in that verse. One, 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 one. The Holy Catholic Church. Don't be narrow. Don't be, you know, stuck in our own, like, ghettos. You know, I'll never forget, and I love this guy dearly, so I'm not actually criticizing him, but I'll never forget, I was on my year out, okay, and I went to a place. For anyone who doesn't know me, I lived in Monaghan, grew up in Monaghan, and I decided after school I would do a year out, and I went to a place called Larne, okay, for my year out, and I had never seen a painted curbstone until I got to Larne. And I just thought, boy, they're lovely. Okay, and moved in a wee place called Anteville Estate. And I moved in with three other Christians. And we were going to do the work of evangelism for that year in this estate in Larne. And, you know, one of the particular guys that was in that house, okay, gave me a really frosty reception. Now, some people know him. I do love him, so it's all right. He gave me a really frosty reception. And about 3 months later, he told me why he'd given me a frosty reception. Are you ready for it? Okay, you said, you just look weird. Okay, no. He said, I didn't think there could be a Christian from the south of Ireland. Okay, and he really meant it. Okay. Now, folks, we have to believe in the Holy Catholic Church. If you have anything in your heart that is like, you remember the said about Jesus, can anything good come from Nazareth? He's only a carpenter's son. Okay, if you have anything in your heart that says that, you should repent of it today and just invite the Holy Spirit to come upon you. I heard this joke, okay, it's sort of funny and it's not funny because it's sort of true. It won the funniest religious joke in the Daily Mail, okay? And here's what it is. I was walking across a bridge one day and I saw a man standing on the edge of the bridge about to jump. I ran over and said, stop, don't do it. Why shouldn't I, he asked. Well, there's so much to live for. Like what? Are you religious? Yes. I said, me too. Are you Christian or are you Buddhist? I'm a Christian. Me too. Are you a Catholic or a Protestant? I'm a Protestant. Me too. Are you Episcopalian or Baptist? Baptist. Wow, me too. Are you Baptist Church of God or Baptist Church of the Lord? I'm Baptist Church of God. Me too. Are you Original Baptist Church of God or are you Reformed Baptist Church of God? I'm Reformed Baptist Church of God. Me too. Are you Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1879 or Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation 1915? He said, Reformed Baptist Church of God Reformation of 1915. I said, die heretic scum, and pushed him off the bridge. There you go. Now, Folks, you see that vision in Ephesians 4 of one church, one Catholic church? That's how it's meant to be, a body. And the body is not just in this room. The body is in Marilyn, and it's in Emmanuel and Shankill and St. John's, and the body goes across this whole world. And do you know what it what they call it when a body's cut up? A crime scene. That's what they call it. And we should not be the people cutting it up ever, ever, ever. We should be people who believe in this Holy Spirit project of the Holy Catholic Church. We should be people who believe in that. Do we believe in it? Do we desire it? Final thing I want to talk about is, let me read you this C.H. Spurgeon quote because it's great. He says this, the Prince of Preachers, he was called. If there were two lords, you might be divided into two parties. If there were two faiths, you might be split into two sections. If there were two baptisms, you might be right in having two denominations. If there were two fathers, there might be two families. If there were two indwelling spirits, there would be, and there must be, two sorts of people. But in the true Church of Jesus Christ, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. It's great, isn't it? Okay, final idea, if we move on to the next slide. I believe in the communion of saints. In the communion of saints. Folks, when we think about the people of God, what do you think the number one description of the church is in the Bible? Sorry? What? The number one descriptive word of the church, okay? Anyone got any ideas? Huh? Body? Oh, here, I'm not asking the question very well. It's Adelphi, brethren, brothers and sisters. That's the most descriptive word of a church in the New Testament. Christian is last on the list. That's the least used descriptive word of the church. But second on the list below brethren or Adelphi or brothers and sisters is saints. Saints. But saints is probably one we maybe struggle with. I love this quote from Groucho Marx, who maybe some of us will know. I refuse to join any club that would have me as a member. Okay? Because saints is a sort of a funny word, isn't it? Because, you know, you get called a saint. Every Christian's called a saint in the New Testament. But you get called a saint and you feel that sort of, I know I'm not perfect. It's a bit like being called holy. I know that there are things about me that aren't holy. I'm sure we all feel that way. In the 1960s, there was the Apollo mission to the moon. And they described the moon as a dead planet. A dead planet. You know, and the reality is that the moon doesn't have any light of its own, does it? It's just dead. But the light comes reflected from the sun. That's the reality with my life. You know, there's things about me that aren't saintly, and there's things about me that aren't holy, but the light of Jesus hopefully is in me and shines out of me. The saints. And then we have this idea of communion. Now, what does communion mean? Anyone have a guess about it? What's communion? Huh? What? Oh, here, somebody gave a really, really, really good answer. Who was that? Sharing? Who said that? Oh, mate, listen, it's not so bad. You're a Spurs supporter, but you got that right. Okay. Sharing. That's right, sharing. Sharing. Communion is the old word fellowship or koinonia or sharing. And I just want us to think, just as we close, about this sharing, the communion of saints. If we're saints, how do we share together? You know, the Acts 2:42 says that they shared everything in common. How do we share together in this church? If we move to the next slide, the communion of saints, the sharing of saints, what do we do? Well, the first thing we need to do if we're going to share together is we need to turn up, okay? You know, it's just become so much the thing right across the board. And in every church in Northern Ireland, they're struggling with, people are now moving to, we come to church once every 3 weeks or once every month or whatever. But to this project of the Holy Spirit, the local church, I want to encourage you, turn up. Turn up. Be part of it. Proverbs 18:1, a man or woman who isolates themselves rages against wise judgment. Turn up, be part, share time with one another. Be here. The second thing is open up. Share life together. You know, Jesus did not die for us to look at the back of each other's heads. You know, he wants us to share life with one another. You know, and that means the joys and the sorrows, okay? I have a joy to tell you. Daniel here, okay? You get ready to applaud now. Gold Award for the Duke of Edinburgh was in London this week. Give him a wee round of applause. Isn't that good? Really embarrassing. You know, we're meant to share the joys but also the sorrows of life with one another. That's this Holy Spirit project. It's to create really meaningful community together. Not just, I go there on a Sunday, but I can't wait to get out as soon as the service ends, you know? It's like a stampede there. It's like Lion King, you know? Okay. You know, share life together. Share a cup of tea together. You know, let's open up together. Let's tell each other what we're struggling with or what we're being blessed by or whatever. It's a special corner for Spurs supporters there, okay? Just joking. Folks, step up. Step up. We need to share resources. That's one of the things that marks the church in Acts 2:42, that they shared everything together. You know, tithing, just like church attendance, has become such an optional thing for the church in Northern Ireland. I don't know why that is. It's just something that's expected in the New Testament. Let's give generously what we can, and sacrificially what we can, to this Holy Spirit project of the church. And there's a great opportunity at Harvest here to give 100% of your harvest offering will go to Charlene's project, to New Wine, to Sam's, and to Love for Life. 100%, okay, of your offering goes to charitable work, God's work in the world. Be generous, step up, share resources. And folks, eat up, share meals. You know, what we do here, this idea of communion that I think we'll do next week, I guess. You know, it's such a beautiful thing. You know, one of the words that other parts of the church use is they call it the Eucharist. And Eucharist means thanksgiving, the thanksgiving. And communion, if we take it really seriously as a family, it reorientates us all to, we want to thank God together. We want to worship God together. We want to commit once again to this Holy Spirit mission of winning the world for Jesus Christ. That is what we are doing when we do that. Folks, we are all different, all broken, all sinful. But if we let the Holy Spirit in and upon us, commit to his mission and let him equip us, this Spirit-filled sharing church can make Jesus famous. But we need to turn up, open up, step up, and eat up. Folks, let's stand together. And if we move on to the next slide, you'll know we're having messy church or messy harvest next week. And the reality is they didn't need to make up messy church because it already exists, called the church, which is awfully messy at times. And folks, maybe you just need the Holy Spirit to help you fall in love with the church again today, and fall in love with the mission of the church and the project, the Holy Spirit project of the church today again. Maybe in your heart, in your prayer life, maybe in your given life, maybe in just your turning up life, you've just stepped back a little bit from the church, the project of the Holy Spirit to win the world. And I just want to encourage you to embrace it once again in all its messiness. Maybe you've been hurt by the church. Maybe somebody's said something to you, or you've been treated in such a way that's just made you fall out of love with the church. Maybe you're here because you've fallen out of love with another church or another group of people. And I just want to encourage you, commit once again to the project, the Holy Spirit project of the church. There's a great illustration I just heard this week on YouTube, and I thought it was for us this morning. And it's this. Put up your hand if you can skim stones. I can't do it, okay? Okay, a few people can do it. And, you know, isn't the key thing to find the right stone? Isn't that? It has to be the right shape. If it's going to fly across the water, it's got to be a particular type of stone. I wonder, do you ever think when you pick up that stone, how did that stone become a stone that could fly? Okay, how did it become that? And the only way that it can possibly happen is stones rubbing up against other stones, smoothing them into this perfect, smooth stone that can fly. But you see, folks, here's the problem. Stones that rub up against each other, okay? How do you make fire? That's how you do it, isn't it? If you're right, you know, I don't know, BB probably tell me. Okay, you scrape stones together and there's sparks and there's fire and there's destruction. The only way that stones become skimming stones is if they rub up against each other in the water. Yeah? That's the only way. In the river. And folks, here's the reality. God has put us into this church, but immersed us, if we choose to be immersed in the Holy Spirit, so that rubbing up against each other, we become more like Jesus and we can fly. That's what he wants of us. And that's what he wants to do in us. There will be difficulties, there will be pain, there will be offense, and there will be struggle. But if we're in the river, all of it can make us more like Jesus. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I'm just going to say a word of prayer. Oh, sorry, I've been very naughty. Spoke a wee bit too long. That's all right. Okay. Not too bad. And folks,